Welcome to the Interactive Journey. Come along with us as we share the stories of parents, children, and professionals navigating a challenging world of various diagnoses, life transitions, and being human. Hey, today is April 4th, which means it's officially Autism Awareness and Acceptance Month. On today's episode, we talk to Brian Lopez, an outgoing and passionate hairdresser and founder of Brian Cuts for a Cause. Brian created Cuts for a Cause to provide haircuts to all individuals with special needs or those who might need a little extra care. Cuts for a Cause haircuts cost $20 and all proceeds are donated to the Arc of Atlanta County. Let's go hear more from Brian now.
Hey, welcome to Interactive Journey, and we're really lucky today. We have Brian Lopez with us, and he's here to share a little bit about his story and what he does for the many fabulous people he works with various disabilities and challenges with haircuts and styling and things like that.
It's great to have you, Brian, but I think first we need to thank the Eastgate crew here for letting us take over. This is our first time taking the show on the road, so thanks to the Eastgate crew.
New studio!
So, Brian, we have a few questions for you, and it's really great to have you here. Thanks for coming in.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So, first question, real complicated. Who is Brian Lopez?
That is a very loaded question.
I know, pull out your notes.
Who is Brian Lopez? I would actually say that I'm ever evolving, always changing, keeping things on the real, spreading positivity. I would hope that with today's interview, I could probably change some lives, maybe add some insight into how I became who I am now. Spreading positivity is one of my main things. My mantra that I've been going with is that every day is a good day. And I think that with incorporating that in everyday life, I feel that I was able to take a Cuts for a Cause program and spearhead the hair industry and focus a little bit different of an aspect of how you're able to bring in individuals with special needs and give them the comfort of a haircut, just the overall experience and take the pressure off the parents. And I've learned so much about myself over the past few years in doing that. And again, just always evolving, always changing, keeping things fresh.
So you, Brian, are actually like, my husband has this water bottle and it's a Life is Good water bottle and has all these different sayings. And when I think of that, I often have thought of you because, in case you don't know, Brian does cut my hair and style it and color it and make me look beautiful every 6 weeks. It was every 8. Now I'm getting so gray, I have to go in every 6. My sister told me, she's like, well, be prepared. It's going to be every 3 before you know it, because she's in her early 60s and she's like, going to go all gray because it's taken too often. But Brian is always so positive. Even when I know that you've gone through situations that have not always been as positive, you do. You keep that happy, smiling face, knowing that you need to bring that to every single client. I want to just take a step back for a second and find out, how did you decide hair? There's so many, you are that kind of person that could probably do almost anything. You really could. Why hair?
So I always had an interest in hair. Mm-hmm. And I kind of got streamlined with doing sports as a kid. Mm-hmm. And never really focused on like what I could actually do, what my talents were, where mm-hmm. art came into my life. I wasn't really an artist. I didn't mm-hmm. have any idea that I had this talent, but I had this drive that, like, I loved just to make people feel better. I would constantly braid women's hair. I mm-hmm. was that guy that was in the back of the classroom braiding mm-hmm. hair. So I one day walked out of a gym, and there was a hair school next door, mm-hmm. and I was just hitting 30, mm-hmm. and I decided, hey, I'm going to take on this adventure. And at that point, I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't even know how to blow dry hair. Mm-hmm. And my mom sat in my chair for the first time, and she said, Brian, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't learn how to blow dry hair, you're not going to do well.
You're done.
So I put my mind to it, and I have learned so much. The hair industry has so much to offer. Mm-hmm. So I was able to take everything that I've learned with other occupations, being a bartender, being a server, in the business of hair, there's so much incorporated with how to be a people person, I know that that's not the correct.
You're right.
Yeah.
I mean, you have. There's just so many interactions that you have with individuals, and you go through life experiences with them. And I honestly love what I do. I've become an individual that it's every day I wake up, I'm never tired of going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to make someone smile and to make them feel good about themselves, because 99% of the time they're leaving the chair feeling that way,
mm-hmm.
has been just an overall satisfaction and gratification process that it makes me feel like I'm changing other people's lives as well.
Yeah.
You have already changed my life, and this is the first time I've met you, and I can tell you two things. Recently you cut one of our clients' hair, and I didn't know that, you know, she was going to you, and the picture was posted on Facebook, and it is the most adorable picture of our client with you. She doesn't typically smile, and it is the most genuine smile I've ever seen her, and I have the picture on my phone, and anytime that I'm having a rough day, I will absolutely bust that picture out and look at it. It is awesome, and it really does change people's lives, what you're doing. So thank you. And the other thing is that I've been in this field for 20 years, and when I first got my start, I was working in a residential setting, and we used to take the children out for haircuts. And there were many times that a staff would walk into a hair salon and bring a client, and all they needed was a haircut, and they were turned away. And this was, you know, 20 years ago, and it was so sad, and all we just wanted to do was, you know, just a very simple haircut, but they did not want to, you know, work with our clients.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and that ties in with your mom, right? So your mom is an inspiration, right, to you?
So my mom is my biggest inspiration. She's my best friend, and she has literally paved the way for who my brother and I are as individuals. She helped really solely raise us, mm-hmm. and mold us to the individuals that we are now. And the positivity that I feel like I've become is driven through her. And my mom and I had a very rough year last year as my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer, and it really turned my world upside down. Thankfully, with the help of Fox Chase doctors and a great medical team, she was able to overcome, and she's great now. But she was working in Absecon school system, which she is going to be retiring this year from.
Ooh, that's exciting!
That's exciting because she's going to be a whole new. She's going to take a whole new way of life. She's going to help. She's going to interact a lot with my nephew,
mm-hmm.
who's two, who's awesome,
and the
well.
Most beautiful boy. He really is.
He is. They you know,
babies.
Apparently he looks a lot like me, so he's got a good road ahead of him. But my mom worked in Absecon school system, and there was an individual, Austin, who was in their developmental program, and he had been getting family haircuts because they weren't able to bring him into a salon, as you were saying. And I walked into Absecon school that day, I'll never forget it. I walked into a special needs classroom, and I feel like at that point, after I walked out of that classroom, because I walked into a situation that I had no idea. Here I was with a pair of scissors, brand new in my career at that, and I was here to just help my mom out. This kid needed a haircut, and here I was. And so with that, the entire classroom, the dynamic of the classroom changed with all of these individuals after I left.
Mm.
And they wrote me letters. They drew pictures of me. They made brownies. And it was just, and at that point, I saw that there was so much of a need that I almost felt like I didn't even know what I was stepping into.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what, Mom, I think we gotta maybe talk to your principal or something, because this could be a thing, but we're gonna have to be. It's going to have to be incorporated in some kind of curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
So we did it. We kind of brought it in as a personal hygiene.
Mm-hmm.
And so Austin was great. His family, I mean, it brought tears to everyone's eyes because Austin was a big, big personality in the school system as well.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone respected Austin, mm-hmm. and everyone loved his whole being. So add a haircut to it. And he's feeling great, and it was just like he's on top of the world.
It's like bouncing down the hallways.
Yeah, exactly. And then with that, it just kind of, the power of social media is outstanding,
mm-hmm.
so it kind of just streamlined.
Mm-hmm.
And that brought me into the top 40 under 40 category for the Press of Atlantic City. Wow. And because of my program with Cuts for a Cause, I was able to network myself into what I brought a different aspect of hairstyling. I went from being behind the chair and doing color and cutting to now being this individual that I was doing Cuts for a Cause, and it blew up. Mm-hmm. And I was top 40 under 40, and I definitely brought Cuts for a Cause alive. Like that's where it happened.
And it is such a need. Mm-hmm. Like I know just from some of our parents have heard, they dread haircut day. Mm-hmm. And not just because they dread what might happen or how their child might handle it, but because they're worried about what the hairdresser might say. Like if they do have to hold him down, like I've had reports from parents that are like, the hairdresser told us it was the worst haircut he's ever given. And I'm like, well, what did you think was going to happen? Sometimes we just need that extra support. So, and the parents walk away feeling defeated because they're hearing that, exactly. Like and already knowing that going in.
It's really the approach too.
Yeah.
I don't have children myself, but it's from when they walk out of the car, mm-hmm. through the door, and the comfort of all of it.
Yeah.
And I originally thought that it would mess children up that I was doing it in so many different locations, but because there's a need for it, everywhere I was able to get into, I was doing it. I was like, let's go here, let's go there, you know, let's go everywhere, wherever we can go. I did just actually start working at a new salon in Cherry Hill called Hair Play. And one of the owners, Jody, he was like, I'm on board. I want buses here. I want every, like, let's do it together. And he is one of the people that, like, kind of brought me back to life with it, because with the pandemic happening, mm-hmm. and just so many different things that have gone on over the past couple of years, yeah. these children have got almost lost in transition. Mm-hmm. And now we're starting back at square one. So it's going to be very fun to, in fact, the first Cuts for a Cause took off last month, and I left the salon, called my mom, I said, you know what, I feel like my program's back. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's back, I feel like it's mine again, I feel like, you know, all of the hiccups that we had in between, like, here we are, I have the same kids coming back, now they're a couple years older, and it's great, because they didn't forget me, and repetition is key, so I like to just keep doing what we're doing, and you know, it works.
So talk a little bit more about that. You talked about your approach works and, you know, keep doing what you're doing. What could that look like? I know you probably change it depending on the client that you're working with, but generally, what are some things that someone might think that's different than a typical hair salon experience?
So the approach definitely comes, I have a tactical way of when, as soon as the client walks out of their car, I greet them outside, welcome them in.
So you're watching outside the salon to see when they arrive.
When they arrive. And I'm able to do that because we schedule them on an hour time limit. And it's not just an hour time limit behind the chair. It's the entire experience. It's, I need to figure out if they're okay with a water bottle, if they're okay with no music, if they need soothing music, if they're okay with wearing a cape. It's simple things that individuals take advantage of or don't necessarily take advantage of, but you're not mindful of it because it's not something that happens in your everyday life.
Yeah,
that's true, because a salon is very overstimulating with all the different sounds, the bright lights sometimes, the red lights to put on my hair, the heat lamp, I love those, but I could see other people not liking that so much. So taking into all that into consideration.
And just breaking it simplistically down to a water bottle or mm-hmm. a cape. Mm-hmm. You would never think, if you weren't involved in that, you would never think how much of an impact that can have. Mm-hmm. So with each client, I kind of have an evaluation, and that's how it is in the hair business. You have a hair consultation, and that's how you communicate. Mm-hmm. I put a little extra care into the communication process because you need to get a comfort zone. Mm-hmm.
And it also helps you have the extra time. I feel like they almost get lost in the time frame sometimes if they're moving on a schedule.
Exactly. You know, with that being said, then once you get them into the salon and you find out what their needs are, if they are able to wear a cape, and these are big obstacles that honestly, like, They give me the chills, because this child that for a year was like, oh my God, no, I don't want the cape, and freaking out. And now they're sitting with a cape on, with a water bottle. Even I've honestly got to the point with some of them where they're at the shampoo bowl, which is huge. I know that sounds so simple, but it's huge.
Yeah.
And that gratification alone is like, wow, you know, this is, what I'm doing here is excellent.
So not only will you work with them where they are, but you will also try to make progress with them, like try to get them comfortable with the cape, or, you know, with getting their hair shampooed.
and working with, I found it very effective to work with other occupational therapists that come and support because I'm able to almost give them homework to say, hey, listen, while you guys, like, why don't you guys focus on incorporating a cape into one of their lessons or a water bottle? And it just, it adds more comfort in all of their lifestyle activities because, I mean, they could, that could streamline to wearing a jacket or a hood or, you know, just the restriction. It opens them up to a little bit.
Yeah, I love when my consultants and my staff will be like, okay, so Brian was saying maybe we should try, you know, putting the cape on a little bit more or whatever it is that they're saying. And then we start to practice that and we do extend it out. Like we have an individual that, that is common between us and he also has trouble with some dental issues. So some of the things that have been practiced with your chair, we're now kind of trying to transfer that over to the dental chair. Correct. So it's, so you're not just helping, I'm not trying to toot your horn too much, but it's true. You're not just helping them with their hair and their hairstyle and getting a cut and comfort with that. It does really
lifestyle.
Ripple out. Yes,
yeah.
It's so true.
Yeah. And it's, that's also something that knowledge I've gained. If I could have looked back the first day that I walked into Epsegan school and cut Austin's hair, I would never think that I needed to start with, let's wear a cape.
Yeah.
Right. So this is you being able to provide these services in a great salon, Hair Play Salon. Thank you, Jody, for your support. But how can you extend that out? Like, how are you going to sustain this as more people hear about you and want to come see you? And like, what is your, do you have plans for moving forward?
I do have plans for moving forward. So Jody and Christina are the owners of Hair Play. And when I first started working at Hair Play part-time in December, I kind of knew that that was going to be grounds for my new home. And everything and anything that they told me how things were going to go for if I was to move with them full time, they have been consistent with and they've been supportive. And honestly, that alone helps me grow personally because that allows me the space and the time and the support. Mm-hmm. Because if you're in a situation where you don't have that support, it can really hinder the growth of not only the individuals by yourself. So we do, you know, getting on a podcast is awesome. This is like one of the first things. I also do my Brian Cuts for a Cause Instagram and promote it that way. But I eventually hope to like, we're looking for like, we want busloads.
Yeah.
We want an entire Monday filled that we could work with interactive kids. You guys come down. We have other stylists that are willing to work with it and create a home for these individuals.
That's what I was wondering. Are there other stylists who would be interested in also doing this as well? That's great.
Yeah,
wow.
And my coworker Sabrina down the shore was, we were on board, we were doing, before the pandemic, we were rolling.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just getting to the point where I was comfortable enough to send some clients her way because my client, my basis was getting too big.
Yeah.
And so I do have two other stylists that I'm working with now that are on board and ready to take on whatever brings our way. I mean, I'm one person with two hands, so
yeah.
We as soon as it starts rolling and as soon as there's more of a need, we're ready to jump on board.
And that's great for your growth and development too, I'm sure, is being able to not just do it all the time, but to be able to mentor others. That gives you, I don't know, I feel like for me, that gives me meaning in a different way.
Purpose.
Yes, it does.
It does. And I've seen, I get tagged because I've been involved with this for a few years now, and I get tagged in a lot of other stylists that are doing something similar.
Mm-hmm.
I have yet to meet somebody that's very local, and I hope that by doing something like this, it can help add to maybe somebody wants to reach out and somebody's thinking about doing the same thing. And it would be awesome to have somebody else in the area doing something else.
Yeah.
It doesn't just have to be me.
Right.
You know?
Well, I guess we skipped over one part. It's Brian, who we've talked about you, but Cuts for a Cause. What's the cause part? Not just special needs in general. There is something else involved,
yes.
Right?
So I wanted to take this program, and in the beginning, I had no idea where I was going with it. And then I had talked with a previous coworker, and she was the owner of Salon Kink in Linwood, and her sister was special needs. And we just kind of got talking behind the chair, Belinda and I, we were going back and forth, and I was like, yeah, this would be a great program.
Mm-hmm.
But then so how does it benefit? Other than just the individual, how can I benefit the community? So with that being said, I decided to do some research, and I had a longtime family friend, Mary Moyer, who works for the Arc of Atlanta County, and I decided that I was going to take the proceeds of 100% of the proceeds, including any tip, anything, mm-hmm. anything that comes my way. And that goes directly to the Arc of Atlantic County.
That's awesome.
So I was able to, over the past couple of years, I was able to raise a couple thousand dollars for them. Mm-hmm. And I chose the Arc of Atlantic County because it was not just one individual special need, not mm-hmm. just Down syndrome, not just sensory. Mm-hmm. It was yeah. a plethora of individuals with special needs that need help. Mm-hmm. So that's why I chose the Arc. And I have decided, I was going back and forth about, do I want to bring, now that I'm working up in a different county, do I want to come out of Atlantic County? But Atlantic County is my home. It's yeah. where I was born and raised, where my family is. Yeah. And if I could give one thing back by not being there anymore and being up here full time, I'd like to give back, you know, still to the Arc of Atlantic County. Yeah. I think that you know, I think that works.
That's awesome.
That's great. And those programs that it supports, the ARC, for individuals, not just children, but really for that adult population,
yes.
is so key in their development and what they need, because there isn't as much. Our last guest, Isabel Almasca, she has really had to hunt for things for her son, who's a young adult. And she's developed a lot of different programs because there just isn't anything for adults. So having the ARC,
yeah.
I mean, I know she is also involved with it through her son. It's just such a great organization. So, you know, I'll say thank you from all of us who work in the field for not just the hair styling, but also for giving back like that. That's really wonderful.
Well, those of us who are in the field have this innate responsibility to work against the stigma, you know, of children with autism or any developmental disorders. And you're doing that one haircut at a time. You are restoring their dignity, not just for the client, though, for the family. I mean, there's nothing, you know, like a fresh haircut. It does really feel good. But let's say, you know, maybe it's not that meaningful to someone, but it might be really meaningful to their family to be able to walk around, you know, just with that haircut. Because a lot of times I think our families feel very defeated, and you don't see what goes on behind the scenes. And you know, when I was in Wawa the other day, and I saw a woman who had a two-year-old, and he definitely, you know, was on the spectrum, and he's in his pajamas. And, you know, someone, you know, not in the field might say, oh, what, she can't get him out of bed early, she can't dress him or something like that. But, you know, what you're doing is you're giving everyone that opportunity to just simply feel good.
Exactly. And that's huge. I mean, like you said, getting a haircut, you feel completely different, and it just helps these individuals understand that they too are appreciated. And the parents, sometimes when parents leave, I find myself crying, because I could never imagine that being my everyday life or my everyday struggle, let alone the obstacles that they're facing in the real world, as far as maybe individuals are thinking, why are the children in their pajamas? And you never understand what someone else's struggle is, ever. And one thing I've learned throughout life is you can never judge a book by its cover. And the emotional level of how I'm involved with this program is, it's my whole heart.
So what one piece of advice could you give to a parent of a person with special needs that might help them with having their hair cut, styled,
getting them into the salon?
Any of those. Like, what's one piece of advice that maybe you'd want to share?
I think that take fear and put it aside. Mm-hmm. Take experience, previous experience, whether positive or negative, and put that aside. Mm-hmm. And open yourself up to thinking that anything is possible. And instead of walking in with the fact that you feel like it's going to be a burden, walk in and think about what it's going to feel like when it's done.
Like, today might be the day.
Right.
That we get it done. It's going to be great.
Right.
I've had days where today wasn't the day.
Yeah.
And, you know, it that part is very hard to explain to a parent, because I'm sure as professionals, you guys know, once you're past that limit and once you lose that window of opportunity for growth, you can't really go back.
Yeah. Right, because it's not your agenda. It's their. It really is. A person with special needs, it really is often their agenda. We try to infuse our agenda in there, but it's really on their terms.
Yeah. If they don't want it, they don't want it.
Yeah.
And I almost think, we don't fix kids. We don't. And that doesn't change across the board. What we do is we help them get sensitized to the being in the salon or being in, and that's what we do with everything across the board. So whether they're ready for it or not, it's up to them.
It is up to them. And, you know, ultimately, we're really on their time.
Yep.
And I think that the best advice, if especially any new parent that's coming to interact with me or the salon, I think that one thing that if I could say to everyone is just don't be nervous. Let me handle it. Yeah. I can handle it. And I can confidently say that now that I've been doing it for as long as I have. I've been doing it for almost half of my career. I've been doing hair now for going on 9 years.
People are going to be able to figure out how old you are. Mm. Brian looks like he's like about 27, 28. That's why I think you're perpetually 27, 28. That's why when you said like 30, I'm like, no, because you're not that old.
No, yet. You're not.
You're. I always think you're mature beyond your years.
Well, that's a good, I'm glad that I can, I'm glad that I can do that. I hope it stays that way.
But you still keep the fun. I mean, the stories Brian tells. He always has a lot of fun, no matter where.
Hey, listen, if I didn't have
the stories he hears.
Stories I hear.
The things you tell your hairdresser, you will never tell anyone else.
It's like truth serum.
It is.
Truth serum comes right out. The chair has a lot of stories it can tell.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, because you do have to kind of be a counselor as well.
You do.
Yeah.
My Brian behind the chair Instagram profile is I'm a hair therapist.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, specialist.
Yes, right?
Here I am.
And if you have not checked that out, you absolutely have to check that out, his Instagram, because the way Brian gets the girls, and not so much guys, because you don't have too many guys with long hair, but the girls to like hold their hair and get, you can really capture just all the color, and it looks beautiful in the style that you put into that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a little harder with some of our clients to get that pose, but you get the front one with the smile, and that's amazing.
Hey,
too.
You know what? That's why I do. So I keep Brian behind the chair completely separate from Brian Cuts for a Cause, because mm-hmm. the individuals, I'm not looking for, in Brian Behind the Chair, we want to see color, we want to see Balayage,
yeah.
because that's what I'm doing there. Mm-hmm. Brian Cuts for a Cause, if I could get that one smile, mm-hmm. that's what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen so many people that I didn't even personally know that they were struggling, and they maybe had a family member or a child that was special needs, and they've reached out, people mm-hmm. that I've gone to high school with, and it's just really cool because I can feel when I do post stuff like that, the people that do reach out are like, oh my gosh, that connection is like, or they've worked with the child in other occupational settings. And mm-hmm. it's a really cool feeling to be able to look at that, look back on that. And like you said, when you're having a bad day, first thing I do is I have to be appreciative of what I have. Mm-hmm. And you can't think about what you don't have.
Mm-hmm. And it works for you because you were saying before we started that if 85% of your clients have come with you at over an hour away from where you previously were all the way up here to hair play, I mean, that says a lot for you. Because a lot of times people just drop. When somebody moves that far, they'll just drop the stylist.
I have to say that it's been a very emotional month for me. Mm-hmm. I'm going on my second full-time week at hair play. And like you were saying, Megan, I really picked up and said, I want to, like I said from the start, ever evolving, always changing, and I want something better for myself. I want yeah. to create a life. I just recently moved up here, so I love the area, and it was a way to, for me to just really set my boundaries with myself. Mm-hmm. And when I left working down at the shore and started working at Hair Play full time, I was scared to death.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a huge clientele down mm-hmm. in South Jersey. And the fact that 85% of them have jumped back on board and followed me every time someone comes in from South Jersey and they sit in my chair, I'm like, thank you so much for coming.
Yeah.
And like, because the support is just, and I hope that they know that I genuinely am so happy that I do have that trust and I do have that bond, because it makes me feel really good about, you know, what I do. One of the things I did for all of my clients for the holidays is I made individual magnets for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And it said, today is a good day to have a good day. And it has my
That's
Instagram
awesome.
Hashtag.
It's on my fridge.
And so it's on, yeah, exactly. And it's on people's refrigerators. And it makes me feel like, you know, I'm a part of their life.
Yeah, you matter.
Yeah.
And it's funny because you definitely can read people, because there are times that I've come in and I'm just like, I just need to get my hair done. I need quiet. And it's almost like you read that right away. I never had to say that. Brian just knows it. And like, he's quieter, I'm quiet. I mean, you'll turn on chatting with whoever, but you just know. And you just kind of, with the person, you read the situation. Other times I come in and I'm bip, 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 a mile a minute, and so are you.
And I'll tell you what, going back real quick to my mom's battle with breast cancer last year is if I did not have the clientele and the support from my clientele, I probably would have been a lot worse off. And you guys picked me up and literally carried me through it.
Oh.
And it was, you know, Megan, my life was pretty upside down. And that
was
at the point where I was like, okay, I'm going to grab this and I'm going to go. And I have to just be an adult and I have to figure out another way that this is going to work for me.
Yeah, because you had struggles on multiple fronts and you got a little, of course, a little emotional when all that happened, but you always were like, can do attitude. Like, all right, well, you start like really heavy going to the gym and then you plan to go to California eventually. Like you did all these things to keep yourself going. And it seems like you always do that. We had to reschedule doing this podcast because why? Because you were going to New York to learn more, to better yourself. Yes.
Yeah, I was heading up to New York for a color class. Mm-hmm. And you have to stay. One of the things in this business, and like, I mean, I really think it's any business, is you have to stay hungry. Mm-hmm. You have to stay educated. Mm-hmm. There's ever-evolving things, you know, that are changing on a day-to-day basis. And I'm sure that you guys deal with it in this aspect of business. But if you can't stay stagnant.
Yes,
that
is the truth.
What inspired you to take such a positive outlook on life?
It's a loaded question. Mm-hmm. Honestly, without getting too emotional, is I went through a terrible breakup at the same time that my mom was diagnosed with cancer. And I feel like at that point, I didn't know what way I was going to go. And it could have gone positive and it could have gone negative.
Yeah.
And at that time, I was like, you know, I'll never forget the phone call when my brother called me and let me know what was going on with my mom. And I was like, he's like, nobody wanted to tell you. We didn't know how to tell you. And I said, I took a whole different approach, I think, than anybody thought.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, it was like, grab your big boy pants.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get mom through this. We're in the middle of a pandemic. I got to go get vaccinated. I got to, like, there's things that I would have never probably done that I did. And at that point, my main focus was getting my mom healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was, I put myself on the back burner.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as she got a clear bill of health,
mm-hmm.
my grandmother and I hopped on a plane. She's 80 years old. And we went and traveled the coast of California for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point, I remember posting a picture in California of myself. And I got up every morning and I ran.
Mm-hmm.
Every single day, no matter where we were. And I posted a picture of myself. And I truly meant exactly what my caption said. And I feel like it was like something about the trip that changed my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And it really did, because it allowed me to focus on a clear mind of, okay, my mom's good now. I've worked my way out of a relationship that just did not work, and it did not make it out of, you know, taking care of my mom and doing all that. And I was like, I gotta be better. I have to be better. I hired myself for Christmas. I gave myself a Christmas present, and I hired a personal trainer.
Mm-hmm.
And I went 5 days a week, and that brought a lot of positivity, and
mm-hmm.
that's continued till now. And it's changed my entire life, and I hope that I can inspire others that, you know, when you feel defeated,
mm-hmm.
you just have to dig deep.
Yeah.
Well, you do. You inspire us across the board.
No, absolutely.
Yes,
oh,
we really do. So now our special time for Logan's top 10.
My turn. All right. No pressure, but we just do these as fast as possible. All right. A four-letter word that starts with B.
Boom.
Thank you for keeping it clean.
Your favorite store.
Rustelli's.
Ooh. Tool you never leave home without.
My blow dryer.
I was going to say scissors. What animal are you most like?
A bird.
A bird. What is your go-to lazy dinner? To make or buy.
To make or buy. Grilled chicken and pasta.
Ooh.
Your most frequently used emoji.
The crying emoji. Crying, laughing
about it. Oh, okay. Very different.
Yeah.
Favorite pizza topping?
Plain.
Favorite actor?
Reynolds.
Ooh. Favorite rainy day activity?
Sleep.
And your life motto?
What doesn't kill you only makes you stronger, and it's tattooed right on my chest.
Yes.
Yay.
And if there was one thing that you wanted our listeners to take away from this podcast, what would it be?
Believe in yourself and trust the process.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for being our guest and our new studio.
I would like to encourage people to check out Hair Play Salon on Evesham Road. It's brand new. They opened up in October. I'm there full time. I work Wednesday through Saturday. You can book online. You can text. You can call. The phone number is 856-350-6050. You can follow me on Instagram at Brian Cuts for a Cause, and you can also follow Brian Behind the Chair.
How do parents make appointments with you for Cuts for a Cause?
So right now you can email me at briancutsforacause@gmail.com. That's Brian spelled B-R-I-A-N. Cuts is K-U-T-Z for F-O-R-A cause at gmail.com. You can direct message me on Brian Cuts for a Cause Instagram, and you could call the salon. Again, that's 856-350-6050. And any other way that you think that you could reach out to me, find me.
Do it.
You can reach out to us, and we can connect you with Brian.
Absolutely.
We're happy to do that.
Yeah, as always. You guys make sure to go find Brian Behind the Chair and Brian Cuts for a Cause on social media, or visit him at Hair Play in Cherry Hill. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Looking for more? Be sure to follow us on your favorite podcast app and Instagram at The Interactive Journey.
Questions, comments, or want to be a guest on our show? We'd love to hear from you. You can message us at podcast@interactivekids.com or on Instagram at The Interactive Journey.